This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora and welcome to MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. MS Momentum is our monthly podcast on ORFM, talking to people from across Otago about all things related to MS. And today I am talking with Claire, who is a physiotherapist at the Otago University. And Claire has also recently just been to the ECTRIMS conference overseas. And so Claire's going to talk a little bit about what she learned at the conference and how that might help those people listening. So thanks, Claire, for joining us today.
Great. Thanks for inviting me to talk. Just to start off, I just want to say thank you to the New Zealand Multiple Sclerosis Research Trust because they helped support me to attend the ECTRIMS conference, which was in Barcelona in September.
Perfect. And sorry, you'll have to remind me, what does ECTRIMS stand for?
So ECTRIMS stands for the European Congress in Multiple Sclerosis Treatment and Rehab, basically.
Oh, perfect.
So long, yeah. So yeah. It was a real mix of presenters. So a lot of it was very scientific, like people developing the drugs, pharmacologists, geneticists, really like went over my head science about different proteins and enzymes and things in the body. But there was also a lot more broad for health professionals in general. And there was like some sessions specifically for nurses, and there was things about for physiotherapists and everyone in between, really, as well as medical stuff, of course.
Yeah, perfect. And yeah, so my understanding is basically it's a global conference to get people who are working in MS in different fields to all come
and
together.
Especially a very, very high research. So I was blown away really by the institutes that a lot of the people presenting from came from, like as in they come from these specific MS research centres in Europe that, you know, they're a neurologist but they only see people with MS, or they're a physio and they only work with people with MS, whereas, you know, in New Zealand, a neurologist sees all types of neurological conditions and people might have a focus on MS, but that's not their whole caseload. And when they refer to the physio sees all cases as well, not even if they're only working in neurology and not just people with MS. Just, I guess their population is so much bigger that they can do just that.
We have more of a generic focus in New Zealand than a specialised.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But just fascinating, like hearing, you know, like I remember going to this presentation and they're talking about they did a survey asking people, I think it was about their exercise habits, and then it's like, oh, we got 5,000 replies. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, like in New Zealand, if we got 100 replies, we'd think that was a good amount. So, amazing, really.
Yeah. I think just over 5,000 is like the amount of people in New Zealand that have
absolutely,
MS or are diagnosed. That is pretty amazing. Perfect. And I know that you came away from the conference with a really good kind of overall focus on really like well-being and brain health. And so let's just chat a little bit about some of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the focuses was about well-being, and so thinking about how we can enable people living with multiple sclerosis to live well, rather than, you know, in the past, sometimes it's about improving people's symptoms. So thinking like with my physio hat on, thinking, oh, we must improve your mobility or your balance or your fatigue. Whereas sometimes you can live well even with symptoms. And so moving towards more of that and understanding, I guess, from people living with MS, what's actually living well looks like to them. And that will be different for each individual. But it really does focus on what's most meaningful. You know, do people want to, is living well staying at work, or is it spending more time with their family, or is it keeping up playing social sport? So really identifying what living well means for each person. One of the things I just want to talk briefly about too is like there's sort of three focuses around that living well. And so talking about diet, exercise, and cognition. So the first one, like with diet, you know, I'm sure most people know there's lots and lots of claims about specific diets and what they'll do for your MS symptoms. But really, the person who presented did an overview of the research. So it wasn't their research they're presenting, and basically said that there isn't, none of those claims have really high evidence that they are effective, and that really there's no specific diet that people with MS should follow. However, there is a lot of research saying that, you know, diet quality is associated with disability and symptom severity. So people who have a better quality of diet tend to have less symptoms of MS, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the sorts of things that they recommended was, you know, just what we hear for the general population, nothing, unfortunately, is like the more whole foods you can eat, so limiting processed food, basically, and that diet's high in fruits, vegetables and fibre with low sugar and processed meats is what they would recommend for people living with MS, which is good, because sometimes you do see these things, you know, especially on social media, that, oh, this is the diet that you must do, and people, you know, some people find those diets really successful, but in general, there's no specific diet.
I think I've said it on this show before, but I say to clients in general all the time, because I get a lot of questions about MS diets, and there are a few different ones, and I kind of get a lot of questions about it, and I always say my advice is eat as healthy as you can within your means, because some of these diets are quite restrictive or quite expensive or quite time, like quite high time management kind of stuff. And if you're stressing yourself out trying to stick to that stuff, you're kind of going to undo any good at my career.
Cool. And then the second thing they talked a lot about in terms of wellbeing was exercise and the benefits of exercise. And again, it was a little bit of a summary of all the research that's been done, and this is what we, you know, these experts are saying this is what should happen. But just a reminder too that, like, exercise in MS is really highly effective and at different stages for different reasons. So it was quite interesting. They talked a little bit about that exercise might actually be preventative or even postpone the development of MS. So people who do have a genetic tendency to get MS, that they might still end up with MS but at a much later date. Like, their symptoms don't appear because they have been highly active in the younger days. They also talked about exercise can be disease modifying. So, you know, research does show that it can reduce relapses by up to 25%, which is a lot. And of course, the thing that we have most researchers about is that exercise can improve lots of symptoms of multiple sclerosis as well. So in particular, things like improving people's mental health, reducing their depression, anxiety, improving muscle strength, cardiovascular health, and of course improving people's balance and gait as well. So I know your next question, but go on.
I think the exercise stuff is very, very important, and it's something that's kind of, I guess, got a little bit of more wind in the last couple of years, and something that people are really starting to look at. And I know that in New Zealand there's been a program developed by Jilly Davies in Auckland called MS Get a Head Start, which is, MS specific. And I've had a few clients that have gone through and done the program, and they've really, really highly, highly rated it in terms of helping with their symptoms, but also just understanding their MS, because it's got a nice kind of educational component with it. Yeah, so, yeah, exercise, very, very important. Yep. We're just going to take a quick 30-second ad break, and we'll be right back.
MS Otago aims to empower people with multiple sclerosis and their support networks by providing them with information and skills to participate actively in the community in ways that are meaningful to them. You can find us at Dunedin Community House and online at msotago.org.nz, or you can give us a call on 027 889 9035. MS Otago, working for the people of Otago.
If you are just joining us, this is MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago, and MS Momentum is our monthly podcast on ORFM. Today I'm talking with Claire from the University of Otago, who works at the physiotherapy school. And in 2025, CLEAR was lucky enough to get some funding to go to the ECTRIMS conference in Barcelona and learned a whole lot of stuff about MS, and particularly in regards to MS and well-being. And so before the break, we were talking about diet and exercise, which are obviously very, very important and things that we've talked about on the show before. But something that I think probably isn't talked about enough and isn't looked at enough is cognition in MS and how that might be both tested and managed in regards to people's symptoms and progression. So, yeah, Claire, take it away.
Yeah, so again, there's quite a big focus around cognition. And so just to define that a little bit more, like sometimes things that people often talk about as being like brain fog. So, but if we really drill down to what that means, like problems with word findings and not being able to find the word that you want to say, memory, attention and concentration, and also decision making. So, you know, being able to have a problem and get to make a decision about what you're going to do about it. That's what we're talking about when we talk about cognition. It's a real challenge because it's really invisible. You know, if you have a balance problem, people can see that you have a balance problem. And things like memory and word finding, it's hard to even individually to know that you're changing sometimes because it can be quite subtle. What was I going to say? But there's a lot of research out there that what they presented was saying that actually often these things, you know, changes in cognition are really common in people with MS. But actually, there's also research showing that we can improve these symptoms. So it's not something that because you've got MS that your memory's failing and you have to live with that. There is lots of things that we can do to help improve that. And there's sort of two ways you can phrase it is, and there are strategies like, you know, using a diary or an app and recording these things to make it more helpful. But the focus of the conference was really more on cognitive retraining. So thinking about how could we retrain the skills rather than use compensatory strategies. And the really important thing is to keep engaging in things that are mentally challenging for people, basically. So reading, doing crosswords, playing online games, you know, that have sort of, that aren't mindless, that you have to think about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Learning a new skill, so learning a language or a musical instrument, and also really important to stay socially connected because often people do find that they, for lots of different reasons, become socially isolated, especially as they get older. But actually, the more people you're talking to and interacting with, that actually helps with a lot of these skills as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something we talked about a couple episodes ago. We had Kim on, who's a speech and language therapist based in Christchurch. And she said that's what she notices, is that people will quite often, because they're having issues with their speech particularly, but even with their swallowing, in terms of a lot of the stuff social stuff we do is around food and drink.
Yes, yeah.
Is that people will isolate because, you know, they're worried about those things, and then that actually exacerbates the problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, the same sort of thing with cognition. If you are aware that there's some differences that people might pull back.
Yeah. And I think too, like speaking to people that you're not familiar with is really important as well, like that social interaction. So it doesn't have to be, it could be ordering your coffee at the cafe or talking to somebody at the supermarket or on the bus, because when you're talking to people who know you, they often fill in the words for you. If you're if you're struggling with your word finding, they jump in for you. Whereas actually to strengthen those pathways, you have to try and, you know, challenge yourself a little bit more, which is often where a conversation outside the house does that for you.
Absolutely.
Obviously exercise is really good for cognition as well, so just be mindful of that exercise does stimulate lots of neurotrophins and things that are important in your brain that actually help with forming new connections, which is what we need to do here as well. And also sleep is really important as well. mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, like that's probably a really good place to start, even if you're having trouble with your cognition or you feel like you're not as sharp as you used to be, is thinking about, are you sleeping enough and do you have good sleep habits? Because even that in itself would probably make a difference as well. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sleep is one of those things that actually, it like across the board, even if it's not cognition you're worried about, if it's other things, sleep is just one of those real basic building blocks.
Yeah.
And I know it's quite difficult. Often I talk with a lot of people who have difficulty sleeping because of their MS symptoms, and then it kind of exacerbates them, so it becomes this, like,
I think it is about, as you said, those building blocks of making good habits, because I think it's easy to be like, oh, I'm not a good sleeper. You know, like, or I can't sleep for long periods because of my symptoms, rather than trying to find solutions as well. Like, it is easy to say, oh, no, I just don't sleep well, or I don't do that well, for all of us. And so to try and think, what could I do to try and sleep better?
Yeah, absolutely. What are the things that are stopping me from sleeping really well, and what are the solutions to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. Just talking a little bit more about cognition and thinking about, you know, it is invisible, and sometimes it's also hard to communicate this to your neurologist or your GP that you feel like your memory is changing, because often they're much more focused on the physical symptoms that you have. And so I think it's also, you know, if you do have the opportunity to see the neurologist, to spend time with them so that they can, you know, like, they talked a little bit about how, you know, really everyone should have screening, cognitive screening, because often the changes in cognition happen before people have physical symptoms. So it's a really good way of knowing that people's disease is progressing or changing, if we could track more of what's happening at a cognitive level rather than waiting until they have physical symptoms.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, like, I think age plays a lot into that as well. I think once we get to a certain age, not just ourselves, but the people, like, even the doctors and, you know, and friends around us and family, will quite often write things off as, like, well, you're just getting older and therefore that's why these things are happening.
Absolutely. But I think, you know, just like physical activity, mental activity, like, you can change. Like, so just because you're getting older, you shouldn't accept that it's a downhill slide.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, a little bit like exercise is effective and this cognitive retraining is effective, but sometimes it just maintains the level you're at for a lot longer. So it means that you can keep doing the things that you want to be able to do. You might not suddenly be able to, you know, the changes are subtle, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we were talking before about kind of that, for exercise as well, but for, you know, cognition is like that almost pre-protection. We were talking about how quite often things will start being put in place once issues start arising, and that does tend to be in our older years. But I know, like, I mean, particularly for women, once you reach a certain age, you start losing muscle mass at, like, a higher rate. And so, every piece of research I've read says that you should, you know, start doing that strength and balance and stuff that we quite often see in group classes for older adults. Actually, you should start that a lot younger because...
And probably even in the last 5-10 years, there's been a real change in that. Like, as a physio, we often saw people with MS once they had physical symptoms. So we often didn't see people who are newly diagnosed, especially if they had been diagnosed in their 20s or 30s and they were in remission and they didn't really have any physical symptoms. But actually the evidence now is saying, actually, the more we do to protect those people before they have symptoms, like, build up their fitness as much as we can, just like any other healthy 20-year-old who's going to the gym, that's much there's better results long term than waiting until they start falling or can't walk up the stairs. And it's the same for brain health as well. The more we can do to build up, like, your cognitive reserve, so that as you age, it will still decline. That's a natural part of aging. But it has less impact on the individual because, you know, we don't need all our brain cells. There's a critical level that we need. So if we can stay mentally stimulated and engaged for as long as possible by doing some of these tasks, that's really beneficial as well.
Yeah. I think it's just really important that, quite often I think things are thought about of, I'll get to that.
Yeah.
Like when I'm older and I need it kind of thing. Yeah. And I'm 100% guilty of this myself.
Yeah.
Knowing that.
I think just as you're younger, your body is much better at dealing with things generally.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know,
you
your
have
body,
more reserve.
Yeah, your body bounces back a lot easier the younger you are. And I think that's a real challenge, is to really kind of get that messaging across to like the younger, like people my age and younger, who, you know, have been told their whole lives, well, that's, you know, that's something you worry about once you're older.
Absolutely, yeah.
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 Yeah. Changing the messaging is very important. And did you have anything else you wanted to add? We've got about 2 minutes left.
Okay. Probably the only thing is just circling back to the exercises, still saying there are some really specific exercise guidelines out there that are recommended for people with MS. And I'm happy to share them with you, Katie, because they are kind of complicated. Mm-hmm. But really, something is better than nothing is the message I'd like people to take away, is that, yes, there's a gold standard of you should do this much aerobic exercise and this much strength training and this much balance training, but actually doing something is much better than doing nothing, and that's a really good place to start. It often, in people with MS, does need to be more of a tailored approach, because it will depend on people's disabilities and their symptom level. So I'm sure Katie can put people in contact with physios or personal trainers or people if you need more guidance, but I will share the actual sort of gold standard guidelines with you as well, that you can share in your newsletter or something like that.
Perfect. There's I think we often talk about the gold standard, but you're right. Yeah. Something is better than nothing, and we all have to start somewhere. Yeah. And if it's, you know.
I just think sometimes people get overwhelmed looking at the guidelines and think, there's no way I can possibly do that. That's way too much. And then don't do anything. But actually, there's still benefit in doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's,
You know, we're lucky now, there is a lot of online resources available too, so you don't necessarily have to go to a gym to do it. It can be things you can do at home as well.
And sometimes it can be easier to manage those symptoms at home, like particularly I think MS and heat, because I talk to a lot of people who are like, I'd love to go to the gym or I'd love to go to a group exercise class, but it's way too hot, and I know that I can't cope. But you know, if you're at home, you can have four fans.
As long as you put it in your diary and do it though.
Because I think the
one of the benefits of doing exercise away from home is you tend to do it because it's in your diary. You go to the gym on a Monday morning and you go to the gym and you do it, versus I'll do that sometime at home. That sometimes
That's
a tomorrow task.
It's easy
to put off. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've also got a lot of clients who will kind of break it up during the day. So they might do 5 minutes in the morning and then 5 minutes at lunch and then 10 minutes at dinner or whatever.
And that's an absolutely great strategy too. That again, if it's saying you have to do 30 minutes of aerobic exercise, you don't have to do it all at once. Mm. You know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and add it up. It's a great way to start as well.
And I think the cognition training is the same principle.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't have to read a whole book this week. You could read two more pages than you read, you know, like make yourself a challenge. How many books did you read last year? If you only read two, can you read three this year? You know, like it's start small.
Exactly. Yeah, start small and make it manageable and the whole SMART goals principle.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. We are unfortunately out of time, but thank you so much, Claire, for chatting with me today. It's really good to learn about all the different wellbeing principles that are being looked at in terms of like world research, and this is kind of what everybody's focusing on currently.
Cool. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to MS Momentum, brought to you on the third Wednesday of the month by me, Katie Burns, Community Connector for MS Otago. You can listen again to this episode and find other podcasts from this series at oir.org.nz and on your favourite podcast platforms. To contact MS Otago, you can email info@msotago.org.nz or call us on 027 889 9035. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.